You're tuning on Gordon GD's channel. Please stand by.
From Gordon's blogs.
Hi, it's Gordon here again. I hope you're doing fine. To be honest, I'm still recovering from last Thursday's fall. I am slowly getting back to normal, but where I am, there is still a long way to go. However, this gave me the opportunity to catch up on some reading. In fact, I just finished reading an autobiography of Mohandas Karamchand Gandhi, or Gandhi, and I'm currently trying to read intermittently two books. I'm listening really to two audiobooks as well. So I have a chance to catch up with my reading stuff, which is in a way a good thing, but being in a bit of pain doesn't really help, or I would rather be more relaxed than I am right now. Well, I'll stop talking about my reading, and while I hope to recover soon, I have had the chance to write as well. And in fact, today I'm sharing two blog posts I wrote, one from the Zone Mind and one which is a reproduction of an article that was published yesterday, Sunday, 17th June, on one of our local newspapers. So I'll stop here. I hope you enjoy, and do not hesitate to contact me via usual social networks, or as you know, you can also write to me via my email account, which you'll hear in a few minutes. Good listening.
Gordon's D-Zone, http://gdzone.gordongd.com. Monday, the 18th of June 2012. Don't politicize disability, newspaper letter. I wish to make an appeal to all those who really have the interests of disabled people at heart. I appeal to them to make sure that disability is not reduced to a partisan and political issue. I believe that would be dangerous, since disability is perhaps one of the few issues that cuts across class, gender, race, faith, and political belief. Indeed, this issue has enjoyed political support from both our political parties. While there is still work to be done to ensure that disabled people enjoy full inclusion in society and independent living, I think that we have made significant progress in this area, while plans to increase community-based services to allow them to be more independent are also underway. This is not to say that we are already there, but we cannot deny that the lives of disabled people are far better than they have ever been before. For, to be honest, I am a disabled person myself. Thus, I make this appeal first as a disabled person, and second, as a disability activist, because I fear that by turning disability into a matter for party politics, we would be doing a disservice to disabled people like myself and to the whole disability sector. I propose that instead of engaging in dialogue based on confrontation and division, the disability issue needs an environment that fosters cooperation and solidarity. Gordon C. Cardona Paola, Malta. Reference: Cardona, G. C. The 17th of June 2012, letter, Don't Politicize Disability, Malta Independent on Sunday. Available from http://www.independent.com.mt/news.askquestionnewsitemid=146054 accessed 18 June. Zone Mind, http://zonemind.gordongd.com. Monday, the 18th of June 2012. Faith or Reason? I am painfully aware of a growing division between the secular and the religious, or, at least, between proponents who have chosen to adopt an extreme view of what they understand to be secular or what they understand as being central to the religious. I think that it's unfortunate to be witness to such a conflict. Indeed, as a child, I was inspired by people who came from both camps of faith and reason. I admired people ranging from Albert Einstein, Carl Jung and Isaac Newton to religious leaders such as Jesus Christ, Mahatma Gandhi and Lord Buddha. However, this is not saying that I was any typical boy. Indeed, in many ways, I obeyed convention. I tried to follow the precepts of Roman Catholicism and receive the sacraments with a certain enthusiasm. I was deeply religious in many ways as a boy and was sincerely interested in living up to what I was taught was good and comply to the commandments, which I was told would lead me to heaven. But, even as a child, I had many questions. I knew that I was physically different and this meant that I was also perceived differently than others. I was aware of death and the reality of impermanence when I was aware that one of my brothers had died when I was just a baby. I sought answers in scripture and from reading books on science. I loved to learn about both science and religion. There were times when I rejected religion considerably and when I adopted a more rational and scientific view of the world. Eventually, I would take up a more political or ideological approach. I explored philosophy, psychology and language to understand the world. I have tried to answer the questions that plagued me. I was torn between a rationality that denied the value of faith and a faith that condemned doubt or asking questions. I felt I had to choose what the truth was. I felt I had to choose between faith and reason. But were my conceptions of faith and reason correct? Was there a point where they could meet? I don't wish to oversimplify rationality or religiosity, but I can speak about my own experience. For, it's only our own experiences and understanding of what has been handed us that we can truly claim to have access to. I find great value in spirituality and religious principles. Yet, I know that scripture was never meant to explain everything about matter. I find a lot of knowledge and purpose in scientific rationality, but I also know that even there we are limited. We cannot truly separate ourselves from the reality we are observing. We are bound, inevitably, to our own preconceptions and worldview. Even in the hard sciences, we cannot truly separate ourselves from what we are trying to study. In order to measure matter, we remain dependent on our senses. Even the tools we use ultimately depend on our senses. The truth of the matter, or at least, my limited current understanding, is that a question that expects us to decide whether we should prefer reason rather than faith or vice versa is a wrong question. For, in reality, our humanity places us in a position where we have to acknowledge our limits. It is impossible to know all the answers to the questions of life. It's impossible to claim we know everything about the cosmos. As long as we are part of the cosmos, we remain confined to the cosmos as living beings. Our material bodies impose limits. But, yet, we can conceive things we haven't seen ourselves. We can imagine things that aren't real. We can be rational or superstitious. We believe we have a certain degree of choice. But, do we really? For, at the end of all things, I can't help being struck by a sense of awe and wonder by the very fact that the neurons firing up in my brain right now are permitting me to type this entry. Where are my thoughts when I perform these acts? Do they have a physical basis? Maybe they do and we might find the biological basis one day. But, even then, would we find the thoughts and emotions that were going on in my mind? I don't presume to offer secularists or religious people who hold extreme positions on matters of faith and reason. I can only appeal to those who sincerely seek to find truth to remain open to the possibility of dialogue. To be open to the other, however irrational or irreverent one may appear, because none of us can claim to have all the answers. I wish to end this lengthy entry with just a quote and a few paragraphs. Let me start with the quote. It's by Albert Einstein, a character I greatly admired as a child and who remains an influence today. Einstein once wrote, "Science without religion is lame, religion without science is blind." I admit that it's perhaps ironic for me to choose this quote I encountered as a child because, apart from the physical impairment that I was ascribed as a child, now I have also acquired a visual impairment. Moreover, it's perhaps more ironic since this quote has been abused and misappropriated by people holding the radical secular and fundamentalist religious views alike. But, whatever your interpretation, it would be a mistake if we didn't try to first get to know who Einstein was and what he stood for. In this sense, Einstein has entered the popular imagination and has often acquired many stereotypes. He has been defined as a Jew who was an atheist, a scientist, and, ironically, he has also been put across as a deeply religious person with his famous quote, "God doesn't play dice with the universe," interpreted out of its proper context or when Einstein was finding it difficult to accept the randomness of the subatomic world where the laws of physics appeared to break down. But, yet again, Einstein's God is neither the Jewish nor the Christian one. Rather, he was probably upset by the fact that there were things that couldn't be explained by the science of his time. I can identify with Einstein's feeling of not knowing. As I got to know more about this man, something well strengthened my admiration for the man. You see, while Einstein did admit that religion could be a form of childhood superstition, he did not totally reject the human value found in religion. He was defined as being a scientist, but little people know he also played the violin with artistic passion. Unfortunately, many of us see him from a limited perspective. You must read about the man before you can truly begin to understand. But, even then, you will never know who he was, even if there was the possibility of meeting him face to face in this lifetime. There are limits to knowledge that are part of our experiences of being human. It's the same if we consider the debate between the secular and the religious, the skeptic and the faithful. We may think we can find all the answers in science. On the other hand, we may lay our complete trust in faith. Yet, whatever we choose, I think that we can neither find all the answers in science nor in religion. For, reason and faith are essential for our very being. I admit that I, myself, have taken up various identities over this short lifetime. I aspire to be a scientist. I am spiritual and can also be rational. I feel, I think and I believe. I hope, I despair and feel sadness and joy. I am disabled and I am impaired. I am a lot of things. I am nothing compared to the immensity of the universe. I know, but I don't really know. I remain beyond the restrictions of a lame rationality and blind faith. I can't keep away from the everyday reality of life, but whatever I think or believe, I still depend on matter to live. I am, at the same time, apart from the universe and, paradoxically, a part of it. I can't provide you with any certain answer to the question of why there is pain and suffering in our life. I can't even assure myself there is such a place as the afterlife. I can't even prove or disprove the existence of a God I cannot see or measure. I only know that I am human. I only know that there is very little I really know, if that can count as knowledge. I believe that I'm writing this, even if I can't measure or prove the existence of my thoughts. We don't even have to choose between faith and reason, for life cannot be neatly fitted into either extreme views of reality. Indeed, those who think so may be deluded. For how can I ever truly separate what I believe to be real from what I think is real when these are intrinsically linked together? For I can say that I have faith in the laws of physics, but then, if I look at the quantum world, all my theories break down. For the very fact that I need light to study light means that as observer I cannot be independent from the observed. I must be humble enough to accept my limitations. As a human being, I must seek value in everything that makes our lives as human beings better and richer. I need to pay more attention to the present, to the now. Even if such a realization is uncomfortable or even painful. For the future is just a promise and not a guarantee. It resides beyond faith and cannot be explained through reason alone. This is our human condition.
You can get in touch with Gordon by emailing him at zonemind.starchild@gmail.com. Kindly make sure you include the word boo in your mail.
For more content by Gordon, please visit http://www.gordongd.com. Thanks for listening. GordonGD.com is now on Facebook. Visit www.gordongd.com to get started.